Next curve.
Welcome. This is Leonard Lee, Managing Director of Next Curve. Thank you for joining today's Rethink webcast. And in this session, we will be discussing the token and its importance in a blockchain-based business model. And for those of you who are not familiar with Next Curve, let me introduce you to our firm very quickly. We are a San Diego-based boutique consulting and research firm focused on providing experience-based advisory services to inspire our clients' digital future. And we advise across a wide range of digital topics, drawing from the expertise and experience of our executive consultants and analysts. And today, I'm thrilled to have Omar Rahim, CEO of EnergyMind, joining us today to discuss what it takes to build a viable blockchain-enabled business model. And EnergyMind has been cited in Fortune magazine and numerous blockchain media outlets as a startup to watch. And I'm really excited, actually, to have Omar on board finally on one of these calls, because he and I have been talking about having him on a Next Curve webcast for some time. In February of this year, EnergyMind closed its ICO with token sales raising over $4 million, and it currently manages over $140 million worth of energy with over 1,100 managed sites. Omar, would you do us the honor of introducing yourself?
Yeah, no, sure. So hi, everyone. So I'll give you a brief background. So I started off actually trading oil in London probably 14, 15 years ago, moved into the power and gas sector, founded and sold a couple of energy trading companies and software platforms. And over the years, I'm based in Manchester in the UK, having sort of built businesses and sold businesses in the energy sector. We realized that there's no real incentive in any party to actually encourage us to reduce energy. So the overall aim of the Energy Token project is to reduce global energy demand. And as Leonard said, we created a token called Energy Token, which we hope to speak to you a little bit about. And we closed our token sale in February, raising $15 million in a, just less than 2 hours. And we've been busy building the tech ever since. So it's something that I hope to go into a little bit more detail about with you guys over the next few minutes.
We're going to get into a lot of detail, right, Omar? Okay. that's what we're here to talk about is energy token. And yeah, apparently I got the numbers wrong. Wow, 15 million. Okay.
That's right.
Well, that's wonderful. It's amazing. I just wanted to share how Omar and I met. October of 2017, I was attending the Blockchain Solutions Forum and the IoT Solutions World Congress in Barcelona. And he was attending a panel. It was probably the most energized, inspiring panel that I attended during that conference. It really struck me when I listened to you speak, how you had this great vision and also a model representative of what the core of a blockchain business model should be. It's been great to follow you in the media, and I know you've been traveling around quite a bit promoting and building out the EnergyMind business. It's great to have you. We're also joined by Lawrence Lerner, CEO of Pythia, a blockchain-focused venture capital firm based in Seattle, Washington, and he's also a Next Curve blockchain advisor. Lawrence has been working extensively with the blockchain community in Seattle for several years and is a widely sought after blockchain advisor.
So I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the panel. Omar, I've got the hugest respect for one percenters like yourself, people who start and grow businesses, particularly around the blockchain space. It is continuing to grow. You know, we've taken investments in a number of companies and we'll be announcing some really exciting things that are much in alignment with Omar's thinking, and I'm really excited to get into today's discussion.
Thanks, Lawrence. And Lawrence joined me about 4 months ago on a discussion on cryptocurrencies and blockchain. And you should check out the webcast replay on the Next Curve Rethink media channel. I think you'll enjoy it. There's three things that we want to talk about here. Number one, we want to introduce EnergyMind. So Omar, hoping to get some background into the why and what. And what we would like to do here is really focus on how you have developed and are building out a token-based business model. And then let's talk about tokens and why it matters. We'll talk about energy token, why it's an important element of the overall business model and how it enables everything that you're trying to do with EnergyMind. And then finally, let's talk about the reimagining and reinvention of the energy economy, but address a little bit more broadly, what are those important factors to consider as you look to go to market with a blockchain solution with the intent to promote the greater good and change the way that we think about the energy market and Absolutely. The economy?
Sounds good.
Let's start off with our first topic here. Omar, what is Energy Mine? Did you start this company?
Yeah, so it's a really good question. So the tagline is we are an AI and blockchain energy company. My previous background had been as a commodity trader, I moved into power and gas trading in around 2006 for large utilities. And energy is it's a very closed market. You try Googling anything about energy prices, and generally the markets are very closed and the information is all contained within the hands of a few large players. Governments have been trying to get us to reduce energy for some time without necessarily that much success. Energy Mine was really created on the basis of a principle that, number one, we wanted to reduce global energy demand. And number two, on the technical front, we have an ethos that if a machine can do something better than a human, then we want the machine to do it. What that means in practice is the company is really built on three pillars. The first is automation. You wouldn't believe how manual the energy sector is. I'll give you an example. A grid operator sometimes still operate with fax machines. I mean,
that it's, sounds what?
Yeah. So you know
that,
what
sounds familiar?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So you know, we're starting off from that kind of a position. So we thought, okay, well,
right.
We have a bunch of stuff that we can automate straight off the bat. The second pillar is to layer in artificial intelligence. We're really interested in solving real world problems, and you know, layering in AI, which will allow us to predict energy demand, where it's coming from, what energy consumption patterns are in different environments, really enables us to then trade energy smarter. And then the third principle was, of course, the blockchain solution. Energy Mine started off in January 2017 formally, so we've been going on about 18 months now. And we really drew on our experience of trading energy in the markets for large corporates and big funds and big utilities. A couple of startups that I sort of started and exited over the years. Businesses were still very manual and they notoriously lacked transparency. So the big attraction of taking Energy Mine to market, what Energy Mine is trying to do is trying to become the infrastructure upon which the energy market of this age will be built upon. You made reference earlier on to touching about trying to do good. You know, absolutely, one of the biggest questions we need to address is how do we use energy in a much more efficient way?
You mentioned AI. That's all about optimization, but you mentioned the blockchain piece. And, you know, there's a lot of companies that are dub themselves as blockchain businesses. Do you think that's a proper term to use to characterize Energy Mine? And if yes, why is it important to call yourself a blockchain company, or what's the significance of that in the context of what you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. I think right now it's the reason why we don't, you know, we use AI in our business, but we're very keen often not to use the term AI too much, because we believe over time, you know, there'll be AI incorporated into almost every business. You know, it would be like now saying that we're an internet company, you know, or an internet enabled company.
Exactly. Right.
So we sort of move away from AI, because AI has been around a long time. And in all honesty, from a tech perspective, AI hasn't really come that far in the last 30 years. Because it's so new, it's still important as the basis of our company to build, you know, the foundations of the company are being built on the blockchain. And I'm convinced the same thing will happen, because this new technology is disrupting every sector across the spectrum. You know, you fast forward 10 years, 15 years, you won't describe yourself as a blockchain-based company. But right now, it sort of signals a bit of intent that we've got, you know, we're building our company around the blockchain, and we're not sort of shoehorning blockchain in, which is unfortunately something that we see in a lot of businesses in this space.
You've hit on, I think, two of the most important aspects of what's happening. The biggest problem that we see in blockchain isn't the building of the technology, it's getting the data in.
Absolutely.
And you talked about creating transparency. So AI and blockchain data are an absolute natural package. I'd love to hear your point of view, because that's where we see as investors, the biggest opportunity using the data the blockchain provides via AI?
Oh, you know, absolutely, it's huge. And you know, if anyone's familiar with the energy market, they'll tell you that, number one, the data comes from about, you know, 20 different sources. There's no uniformity of the data. The quality of the data is not that reliable. And it's very hard to get at in the energy industry. You know, a simple example, your metering company will have a set of data. Your supply company will have a set of data. The transmission company have got a set of data. And it's very hard to get at. Our clients are generally sort of blue chip clients with a few hundred sites and an international footprint. And we always start off with the basics. And we go back and say, do you know what you own? You know, sometimes they don't even have an asset register. They don't know which buildings they own. They don't know how much energy has been consumed. The companies that come to understand how to use this data are the companies that will dominate the energy sector in the next 20 years. And at the moment, the energy supply companies, you have to remember, a lot of them have come out of state-run companies, which are not always the most efficient. Through deregulation, there's a lot of legacy systems built in. And naturally, these companies tend to have monopolies or oligopolies in their home markets. So it's not a culture that fosters innovation. So there's a bunch of old tech out there. There's a real opportunity for companies that can understand data to really dominate this sector, which is why we feel the companies that will sort of emerge from this revolution will be companies that really understand data. The likes of, you know, Google, Amazon, Samsung, Apple, they haven't really got started in the energy markets yet. Their extent of involvement in the energy market has been largely sourcing 100% renewable energy or starting to do electric cars or autonomous vehicles, but they've not really begun. Once they start getting to grips with this market, their advantage over traditional utilities is pretty scary, really. And, you know, I advise quite a lot of utilities worldwide and a big utility in the US as well. Last time they were here in London, I told them our scenario planning. And they said, okay, well, if this happens, we're going to go out of business. And, you know, my answer was yes. You know, one big utility at least will become the new Nokia, from selling a billion handsets a year to oblivion, really, if you don't change your business model. So to pick up your point, the data is very hard to get at. And what the blockchain enables us to do, if you have a blockchain-based system where you've got transparency on all sides, you know, theoretically, you can trace an electron from the point that on which it was generated from a wind farm all the way to the device in which it was consumed. And if you can map that out on a sort of a macro level, you can start to map out the flow of electrons in a whole system. So that's where it gets really exciting for us.
And that's super exciting. And we're seeing a ton of supply chain opportunities. And you mentioned faxes, and I always chuckle. The coffee supply chain company that we're talking to, they're doing the same thing as mapping that out, because it's all a manual process of handoffs of paper documents. So I think you're spot on in everything you've said.
Next question that we have here is the problem to be solved. The Energy Mind business, you've given us a bit of an overview of the why. Now, can you maybe elaborate on the problem that you're trying to solve?
So for context, there's sort of two areas that we focus on. Number one is what we've alluded to already, is using blockchain towards a system where you will have peer-to-peer energy trading and ultimately a decentralized energy trading network. In different markets, it takes some changes in legislation, and there's some infrastructure changes that need to happen to do that. Mm-hmm. The other problem, and really the focus of our project, because the sort of the background work of attacking both problems is the same, is to reduce global energy demand. And the reason we chose that project to really go after first is, number one, it's a more pressing problem for the environment, but number two, using our reward mechanism, it doesn't need any change in legislation whatsoever. So going back to the slide, the problem that we have is well known to pretty much everybody, that we're not slowing down in the amount of energy that we consume. And that's only going to get a problem with emerging middle classes in the likes of China, India, and other countries around the world. So our consumption really shows no sign of slowing down. That's going to have a devastating impact on the environment, with not only sort of CO2 levels, but also the increasing scarcity of energy in certain markets. The problem is not new itself. We could sit here and we could tell people how damaging the CO2 is, or how excessive energy consumption is to the economy, and you know, you see these pictures on the news of you know, the ice caps melting. You know, we've tried that approach. So from a psychological point of view, it doesn't work, or it's not working fast enough. Our view is more like, okay, you know, we have this problem. We all agree we want to solve it, but most of us are not motivated enough to really do anything about it. Instead of lecturing people and telling them how wrong their behavior is, we said, okay, why don't we use the very latest in technology, but we use the most old-fashioned business model possible and incentivize people financially to change their behavior.
So it seems like there's two elements then, right? There's the optimization piece where through transparency and sharing of data, be able to optimize the capacity that's out there, but then also eliminate wasteful behavior.
It's about rewarding energy efficient behavior. So if people are making energy efficient decisions, they should be rewarded financially for that. And that's a way of tackling the problem from the demand side rather than from the supply side.
That's the key, is incentivizing the behavior. And there are other socially conscious blockchain companies like Alice and WeTrust and Civic. And what it really gets into is the token economics. Mm. How are you getting one side of your marketplace, the consumers, to have better behavior, and those people who are going to do the work on the blockchain incentivized? So I think that is what's valuable and engages.
Why blockchain? You know, why is blockchain such a critical part of enabling what you're trying to do here with Energy Mine? You could use a centralized model to do some of what you're trying to do here, right? You know, theoretically. Why blockchain?
Yeah, so we spent months thinking about this. So actually, we tried to convince ourselves we didn't need blockchain. Our base case was, why do we need to use a blockchain? What else can we use? What else are other people using? And we spent months on this. So in crypto terms, you know, we started researching this in sort of summer 16, and we didn't do our ICO until February of this year. So we took a lifetime in crypto years trying to work out, you know, why do we need blockchain? And we eventually decided, okay, number one, in terms of the blockchain application for transparency, this issue of issuing a token for trust, this was one of the fundamental issues. So we wanted to take out the necessity of an employee to trust the employer, for example. So let me give you a really quick example, if I may. So our token is rewarded for energy efficient behavior. So that could be taking public transport, buying energy efficient appliances, or saving energy in the workplace. You know, you're the CEO of a manufacturer, you've got 5,000 workers, and you as a CEO say to your employees, okay, switch all the machines off, please, after work. It's a very ineffective way of engaging your workforce to do that. Take a layer up and say, okay, well, we're going to give you some cash now. So I'm going to give you some cash if you save me some energy. Which, you know, is often the argument. Why do you need a token? Why can't you just give a cash reward? Number one, there's some really boring rules around taxation, which I won't go into. It's treated as a benefit. But secondly, when you give somebody a reward that they can't see and track, and number two, when there's a necessity to trust a central entity, that it's again quite ineffective, that we found. Building on the blockchain from a technical perspective makes a lot of sense in terms of the transparency and pulling all the data together. But in terms of the token specifically, the token was really important because we can automate the award of tokens. So in the example I gave, you as a factory, you're saving energy. And this time the CEO says, okay, if we reduce our energy bill, let's say the factory's spending $10 million a year, and the CEO says, right, if we reduce our energy bill by 10%, by $1 million a year, we will reward our staff with, you know, $500,000. So we'll pay for that. In the traditional world, it's, you know, the employees are thinking, okay, well, I don't see the energy bills. So it's very easy for my CFO or CEO to say, oh, sorry, guys, we missed the target. We only saved it by 9% or 8%. And people don't trust that they're going to get a reward, often their performance drops. With the ability to use a smart contract-based approach, we can plug directly into a smart meter, the API, the data feeds from a smart meter, and link our smart contract into that, meaning that as soon as a condition is triggered, as soon as that 10% drop in demand is triggered, our systems will deploy energy token into, you know, the 5,000 wallets of all employees. So it takes out that element of trust. That was one of the biggest reasons that we wanted to use a token-based system.
Can you sort of pull back a little bit? What does the whole ecosystem look like from where are all the validators and how are you going to onboard people to this? Because that we find is the most intensive piece. So how are you doing that? Because that becomes a model for other industries that have so many end consumers, many outlets.
So getting the token into circulation is the biggest problem. And if I was to say one thing that our team is focused on is getting the token into circulation, because, you know, I think, Leonard, you mentioned in your introduction offline to this talk that a lot of these projects will die out. You know, because the teams may still be well-intentioned, but they don't get the execution right. And if you don't get your token in circulation, you know, your project will die, unfortunately. It is the most important aspect of what we're doing. If I backtrack a little bit, my previous business that I owned was a commodity brokerage that traded energy on behalf of large corporates. So we're day in, day out, we're dealing with energy buyers, CFOs, facilities managers, CEOs who are directly responsible for energy spend, and this has been our field for, you know, for the last 10 years or so. Energy Mind's existing business and existing customers were also the same type of client, so we're already speaking to people responsible for energy consumption at these corporations. Right. So Energy Token really was just another product, a behavioral change product that we can go and get out into the ecosystem. I mentioned there's you know, multiple different ways that you can earn the token. For example, taking public transport, saving energy in the workplace. Once you have the token, you have to be able to do something with that token. You know, and yes, you can sell the token on an exchange and get a cash reward for that. But you can also, or we're negotiating now with energy companies to enable you to pay your energy bill at home, your residential energy bill, with that token. And the first practical real-world user case actually will be the ability to use energy token as a common currency to charge your electric vehicle. So we have trials that are going live in London and hopefully in Seoul that will allow you to use your energy tokens to charge your electric vehicles. What that will mean is that directly because of your activity at work, by switching machines off and saving energy, you can essentially get free fuel for your electric vehicle. Yeah. Pay your bill at home. The first thing we need to do is we need to get those partners onboarded to say, okay, you need to use energy token. The way we do that is quite simple. It's perhaps not what people would think. You know, rather than lecturing people about saving the environment, we say, okay, you know, some companies, in our experience in dealing in this end of the market, in the corporate end of the market, yes, firms care about the energy, the environment, but often it's a box ticking exercise. You know, it's their corporate social responsibility. Really what they care about is money. And we're very pragmatic and very realistic about that. And so if you go to a CFO and say, do you want to help the environment? Do you want to save energy? You know, they might say yes. If you go to that same CFO and say, do you want to save money on your energy bill? Do you want to spend less money? You know, 100 out of 100 will say yes. What we say is that, okay, I don't care whether you care about the environment, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Customer. But we care about the environment, but you know, whether you do or you don't, it doesn't matter. The net effect is the same. If your goal is just to use energy token as a behavioral change tool to reduce your energy bill, so be it. For me, and for us as the human race, we're still benefiting from the reduction in carbon emissions. So this was the sort of the pitch to the end user. When you do that, it becomes much easier to sort of sell into those organizations. And it's also sort of risk-free for the adopter, so that the employer, for example, they don't need to buy the tokens until the savings have been achieved. Yeah. The example I gave you earlier about, you know, saving energy in a factory, for example, in that case, the employer, we would do all the administration. They would have a login so they could see a dashboard on their performance. Once the trigger was hit, they would be buying energy tokens and deploying those into the wallets of their employees. So there's no financial risk that the company takes before the savings have been achieved. You know, we don't need to do the hard sell, and we're not getting partners to pay us up front and hope we deliver.
You're really not just selling to the end user or a customer. You have to sell into the ecosystem. And what I mean by that is the different players that are going to have to participate in order for the whole ecosystem or the system to work.
Yeah.
Right. Because I think most folks who start a business, they try to find a target customer or target customer segment, and they try to go for that. But you know, when you look at what you're trying to do, and which is really change the way people think about energy, but then also change the economics and possibly even the industrial structure of the energy market, then you have to sell into a lot more stakeholders than just a customer.
Absolutely, and this is
and
why.
Then yeah, and then you have to drive critical mass quickly, right?
Yeah, exactly. And this is why you need an understanding of the sector, and you need to know what different stakeholders in the ecosystem are really looking to do. For example, energy suppliers and utilities, they're looking to monetize their customer base because they're not making any money from supply anymore. You know, the distribution, transmission, the grid operators, the infrastructure operators, they're looking for ways in which they can better balance the grid as we move towards electric vehicles. How do they balance the grid? Where do they get that data from? The consumer, actually, in our case, it's very hard to get people excited about saving energy in certain quarters. It will come, you know, that time where wasting energy becomes unfashionable, that time will come. But we really haven't got enough time to wait. So we need to sort of figure out a way that consumers don't even, you know, the end user doesn't even need to know that it's blockchain. They probably don't care that it's blockchain.
Yeah.
What they'll see is that I'm engaging in this behavior because I can then use my tokens and I save $200 a year when I go back and pay my energy bill at home. And it's not really that much more effort. And you need to make it as sort of frictionless as that. Yeah.
It's sort of like what you have written here, reward mechanism, right? Building that out to drive the behavioral change in folks to contribute to the desired outcome.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about how you're reinventing the energy economy here. And one of my key questions is, how do you envision the energy economy changing? And you mentioned that you've been an advisor to energy companies, and you've told several of them that, you know, one of you guys will eventually become a Nokia. What do you envision once Energy Mind has achieved a critical mass in the market? How do you envision the energy economy itself changing?
We mentioned the easiest product to get out there, and it's the reward mechanism, because we can roll that straight off the bat.
Right.
Get that out there. The more difficult and challenging piece is, how do we restructure our market as large as the energy markets? And there's so many people working on this in different ways that it's sometimes easy for me to start at the end of where I think this market is going to end up. You know, we've already got decentralization of energy generation. You know, the days of building a large power station are coming to a close, because it's certainly in deregulated market. It just doesn't make any sense anymore. People can generate through solar, they can generate through wind. What is a problem is people still can't access, they still can't trade that energy and access the best prices for that energy. So we've got a crazy situation where if you've got solar panels on your roof and your neighbor hasn't, at the moment you're selling energy, excess energy, to the utility company, who's putting a markup on it and selling it back to your neighbor for maybe a 40%. You know, what's the energy company really doing there? You know, apart from a bit of an administration exercise. What we're saying is that, okay, so peer-to-peer energy trading, although it needs changes in legislation in different countries, those two neighbors will be able to trade with each other on a platform. And there are multiple companies worldwide working on this kind of technology. Taking it on a step from there, where we think the market is going is sort of a step further than this. So we're now into the world of IoT. So when you've got connected devices on a network, the way we see the market that we're trying to build is a platform to allow not just peers or people to trade with each other, but to allow devices to trade with each other. For example, each connected device in your home, your kettle, your microwave, your refrigerator, your car, will all be a node on a network. The example I always give is that you come home from work and you need your car charging for the morning for your commute. You need your refrigerator on 24/7 for obvious reasons. And your washing machine, you know, you need your clothes clean by 7 a.m., but you don't really care when your washing machine switches on. So what is going to happen is you're going to have all this information, transactions are going to be carried out using AI to figure out when the best times for those devices to switch on is. And those devices are going to be trading electricity with each other recorded on the blockchain. So, you know, you go to bed and the algorithm knows, okay, I know that Leonard needs his clothes cleaned for 7 a.m. I know that he sets off to work at 7:30, and I know that he wants to keep his fridge on 24/7. So while you're asleep in bed, your algorithm is doing the hard work and your car is trading energy with your neighbor's microwave, which is trading energy with your neighbor's battery storage device, for example. And you're creating this algorithm-based energy market where those devices are all trading with each other. Now, what EnergyMine is building is the platform on which those devices trade with each other. Eventually, there's going to be less and less human interaction in that process where, you know, you're getting an increasingly optimized version of that. So we believe that's where the future of the energy market lies. Now, my recommendation to big utilities was that, you know, if I was a big utility now, I wouldn't be building a power station. I'd be building an energy exchange on which these trades can take place.
That sounds like a DLC, right? A demand load control play. And that becomes super interesting from a blockchain node, IoT, that we could really geek out on. Maybe a little insight there, because that's cheap, fascinating, and consumers can do a lot of it soon.
Really, you're painting a picture of what the energy market. So having been fortunate enough to been in the inside the control center at National Grid in the UK and seeing the how difficult it is to be able to predict load and manage load and send, you know, send load to where it's needed or take load off, so on and so forth. This is going to be an increasingly greater problem as we sort of embrace urbanization worldwide. So you're helping the grid operator balance the system. At the moment, there are firms that do that, that manage this process automatically, you know, using AI, and they're sort of often referred to as aggregators. Now, those aggregators are typically taking 20 to 30% of the upside. You know, they've got to make a living. So they're saying, okay, well, we'll take all these customers and we'll manage the load and we'll help National Grid or the National Grid manage the system. But we'll take 20 or 30% for that. What we're saying is actually, you know, an algorithm can do that eventually. And we don't need to take 20 or 30% because effectively the system is running itself. So, you know, we can charge a small transaction fee of maybe 0.5% as a consumer, whether you're an individual or a large, you know, manufacturer. It's another middleman or another agent that you don't have to pay, you know, because the system is effectively running itself. And that's the way sort of we're tackling this problem.
What are some of the key levers of change that EnergyMind is pushing in order to drive some of these shifts that you're talking about? There's a couple of things that go beyond just the blockchain topic or even the token that we're talking about. There seems to be some adjacent trends and call it adjacent markets or related markets. What are some of those things that we're looking at, monitoring, and counting on in order to enable what EnergyMind is trying to do?
Yeah, definitely. There's sort of two aspects on that. The first thing is, you know, we need to work closely with regulators, and in our case, the energy regulator, but also the financial regulators, because this technology, whether it's blockchain or, you know, cryptocurrencies in general, they have the potential to be a great enabler of innovation. Of course, you know, consumers need protecting. So we're working very closely with regulators on the energy front and financial regulators as well. The second thing that we're really working hard on is everything that I've described in terms of the vision of what the future of this market looks like. It will be absolutely useless if we don't get the security and privacy issues sorted out. So it's become hugely important in the media. We've all seen sort of notable GDPR stories. Absolutely, you know, GDPR. We've had, you know, the Cambridge Analytica scandal. We all understand how important privacy is. And at the moment, we're still at the stage where a lot of IoT devices, are the weak point in a system, are sort of a hacker's paradise, really. So that problem needs to be solved before anything else. And to do that, we need to leverage the knowledge of people that understand security. And a lot of that comes from government, and a lot of it comes from the sort of the traditional tech sector, if that sort of makes sense. So those are the two things that are sort of running in parallel to our sort of blockchain-based business plan.
Yeah, and for me, the thing that resonated most about what you mentioned earlier was the democratization aspect of energy, and that you have individuals or consumers who can generate their own energy. They're the producers. This is laid out in your white paper. A lot of what you're doing here is enabling the consumer may also be a producer, create a market for themselves, monetize the capacity that they're generating, or monetize the behavioral change that is reducing consumption. That's sort of what I think you're also banking on as well. That goes beyond just the energy grid. We're talking about technologies like solar and maybe even wind or geothermal that an individual might have and be able to contribute back into the overall energy network. It's like monetized self, right? Sort of like Black Mirror.
Yeah,
I've been hearing a lot of references to Black Mirror nowadays. So you reminded me of them, that show again as you were describing this this future energy that you're envisioning.
Well, one thing that's really, really freaky is that, to take this example further, you know, I gave the example earlier about an AI working out when to use energy. What happens when the AI gets so advanced that the AI starts demanding some of the cryptocurrency as a reward for optimizing your system? So that's one for another day.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling I think you've had some bad conversations with Sophia. After the panel, you must have had an interesting conversation with her. This is great. I wanted to have you share some of your thoughts and what you would say to folks who are looking at blockchain for their business or are looking to start a venture that leverages blockchain as a critical enabler of their business model. I wanted you to share some of your final thoughts and key takeaways.
Yeah, definitely. So so first of all, you know, I'd like to thank everybody for taking the time out and listening, and obviously to you, Leonard, for the opportunity as well. And I think it sounds obvious, but one of the things people need to do is to actually think about what problem they're solving. You know, there's a temptation to use blockchain or a token for everything, but you really, to have longevity and a sustainable business model, you know, you really need to be solving a problem, and using a blockchain to make something more efficient, more transparent, faster, that needs to happen. Yeah. The second thing is that it's very unlikely the idea that you think of is completely unique. So it's important to look at what your competitors are doing worldwide. So the one great thing about blockchain tech at the moment, you know, this innovation is going on worldwide. You know, it has no borders. So have a look at what your competitors are doing and what sort of niche are you filling. You know, your market is likely big enough, and it's unlikely one company is going to dominate that space. So really try and find what your what niche is in that system. It's so underestimated. You know, I know people that have done $50 million, $100 million ICOs and token sales and raised a load of money, assuming that they're going to shoot to number one and dominate the market. The fact is that blockchain talent, technical talent, is really, really difficult to find. You know, you might have a core team of two or three that fit into that category. Everybody else you'll need to train. So try and design your systems around your recruitment of, you know, finding really smart, good, capable programmers that are fit your company culture and can deliver your vision, and you can train. You know, there are things you can do to make them learn, you know, different languages like Solidity or sort of the blockchain space. Even if you raise $100 million, you're not going to go and hire the top 10 blockchain experts in the world. It's just not going to happen.
Blockchain architects and understanding the way that Omar structured this, set it up and laid it out, is incredibly difficult. And that's where we're looking for ideas and the way people lay it out. It's not just a better database or a better way to create the internet of value. It really is a way of thinking. And I think in this hour, Omar has uncovered that extremely well.
Yeah, the next one is again really interesting. It's about delivering your message clearly. So, you know, blockchain is complicated. Your industry is probably complicated. When you mix the two, it becomes really complicated. As much sense as your business plan or your idea may make to you, if you can't communicate that in a really simple way to a layman, then you really need to start again. You know, I come across projects all the time that, you know, sound amazing, but I've been locked in a room for 3 hours, and I'm sure Lawrence has much more experience of this than I do, but you're locked in a room with someone for 3 hours and you're willing that person to just tell you what it's about in one sentence so you can understand it, and you can't get your head around it. And you start to question yourself, is it, am I stupid?
Yeah.
Do I not understand this?
What am I doing in here for 3 hours? I think is, you know, it should be like 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Elevator pitch.
Absolutely. So yeah, take it down to its simplest level. And if you can explain it in a sentence or two, then you're probably a bit nearer. You know, you don't need to prove that you're the smartest guy in the room all the time.
Well, you know, I think you do have to be a pretty smart guy because, you know, number one, you're dealing with a blockchain, which is a difficult thing, you know, concept and technology for people to grasp. The applications of it are challenging to understand. But then, you know, like what you've outlined here, and to Lauren's point, architecting the solution, which is not necessarily technical, but this ecosystem solution, which is a re-envisioning of the marketplace or the industry or the economy, that's difficult to describe in a short, concise way, right? Because what you're presenting is unfamiliar. And quite honestly, what you described today is a different way of thinking. And to be able to do that in a concise, you know, compelling way is not an easy thing, but it is an absolute critical thing for you to be able to do if you're in this game. Otherwise, you might undersell a great opportunity or a great idea. Yeah, and you know, I threw this last one in there. Blockchain is just a technology. At the end of the day, it's the business model that's going to change things. And for me, listening to the Energy Mind story, that's just an affirmation of this last statement here, that it's fine and dandy to promote yourself as a blockchain business, but does it really play a significant role in what you're trying to do as an enabler or a critical infrastructure and delivering, enabling the business model that you're trying to go to market with? And it's really the business model that you've outlined so eloquently that's changing things, right? In fact, it's interesting. As you were telling your story, blockchain became, and the token itself became less of a factor, more of this overall ecosystem design that became more of the compelling part of the story that you told today. That was my key takeaway.
I always start with sell the problem you're solving. It's not about the underlying technology. Blockchain's a great enabler. We do many things, but talk about that business problem.
Okay, wonderful. So Omar, thank you so much for your time. I think what we'll do here is close. Lawrence, just so glad to have you back and really appreciate your contributions to this discussion. If you would like to find out more about NextCurve's point of view on this and other digital topics of the day, go to our website. It's www.next-curve.com. You'll find research notes, media, and replays of this and other webinars on our site. And to keep up to date with all the great stuff that we're doing at NextCurve, follow us on our website by subscribing. We're also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and friend us on Twitter to get live feeds and coverage of industry conferences that we attend and special NextCurve events such as this one. If you would like to get in contact with me, here's my contact information. If you'd like to contact Omar, find out more about Energy Mind and Energy Token and all the great stuff that they're doing there, feel free to give him a ring. I wanted to thank everyone for your time and attendance as well as participation. Omar, Lawrence, any last words for our audience?
I really appreciate the time. Omar, was fantastic discussion. Look forward to connecting with you offline. Leonard, thank you as always.
Likewise.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
All right, Omar, you have a great evening. Thanks so much for sharing, both of you, and have a wonderful day and evening.
Likewise. Have a good day, everyone.
Cheers. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Visit us at www.next-curve.com.